Father, in Jesus' name, yes. Nothing is hard for you. Lord, thank you. You are the God of impossible. And Lord, thank you that you have shown us over and over that you are faithful and you are true. Lord, thank you that your word is all powerful. Lord, thank you again that it's like a mighty, mighty rushing wind. Sometimes even in a still, small voice. But it's always the same. It's all powerful. It's all encouraging. It's all loving. You let us know, Lord, that you're for us. Lord, you let us know that upon whom you'd have grace, you'd have grace. And upon whom you'll have mercy, you'll have mercy. And Lord, thank you to God that we lift our hands and our voice to you. And Lord, thank you, God, that we know it's us. It is. You've never changed. You're the same yesterday, and you're the same today, and you'll be the same forever. More than wonderful is he. And we are here to praise you and thank you. The reality of you, the reality of our life, which is you. That you're calling us to Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, help us to awaken more to it today. Help us to become alive to it today. Lord, you've given the ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let us arise. Let us stand and withstand. And having done all to stand, we thank you for this new year of opportunity to grow up fully in you. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles today. We'll begin in 1 Thessalonians. We'll head on over to Romans 13. Round back over in Revelation. Over to Matthew. I told you, you better have your Bibles. Praise God, the last few Sundays. We always have a good time in the Lord. And aren't you thankful? It's just His Word. Grateful to God, the ministering of saints. And you know, it's not that we don't miss a beat. He doesn't miss a beat. And I rejoiced with you in the Word of God as it was preached being away. What a thrill to my soul to hear the morning message and Brother Justin in the evening and Brother Michael on Wednesday. And we're thankful for the Word and His faithfulness, aren't we? Praise God. We have I'll tell you, there's a cloud of witness in here. Amen. I'm thankful for how we've been fed all these years. And the evidence of this feeding, praise God, is the sheep. And I thank God for these loving sheep, truth in love sheep, spirit in truth sheep. Praise God, the full gospel. It's a marvelous thing. But the last few Sundays, we've been rejoicing in the appearing of the Lord. Matter of fact, that appearing of the Lord is our rejoicing, isn't it? We long for that appearing. We're looking for it. We're in love with the appearing of the Lord. Matter of fact, I believe we've received a message. We've received, praise God, the very words of our Lord and Savior. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. You heard Him call your name. I'm coming for you. And you know that I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. That's why you know. It's not what you've done or who you are. It's who He is. And what we are to Him. And we thank Him for that, don't we? I mean, they're just and it's so underscored in thankfulness. But I just want to be a sacrifice and praise of thanksgiving to God. Of this marvelous love that I know. And He said that we would know the love of Christ. To know that love. And He didn't just say the love, but He talked about every dimension of it. The height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the width. Everything about that love to know. Now, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things I'm confident I can't know. Really, way beyond me. I don't understand all of this technology, science, all these different things. I don't. But there's one thing that He told me that I can know. Matter of fact, the only thing that matters that you know. The only thing that matters, because it's the only thing that will ever be. Is to know the love of Christ. And to think that He has caused you to know this. In a depth through a gospel that was given to the chief of sinners. given to the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul. The worst of the worst, it was given to him to magnify once again what? Mercy. He took the worst of the worst and he set him in a place where he finished his course, holding up the exalted rank of righteousness crown. And he said, I've won. And he said, it's not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 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 That's what we've been hearing. Amen. And longing for it. We saw that so sweetly in those at the time of Christ's birth. They longed for that appearing. We know it was just a handful, whether it was shepherds, whether it was these wise men. We saw that it touched even that sweet Mary, Elizabeth. Ah, the Savior's coming. We're going to see Jesus. And we know what happened to each and every one of them that were looking. They saw him. And they didn't just see him. Oh, no. They received the full glory of his appearing. They sure did. Let me tell you something. All in all was there. I am that I am. In that manger, all the fullness of God, right there. And they received it. But you know what? Those that weren't looking, they missed it. There was no appearing for them, and there was no glory. There was no appearing for them, and there was no glory. And that's today's message, the alternative to looking for the Lord. Those that aren't looking. And they'll miss it. And they're going to miss the next soon appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And oh yes, there is an appearing coming. Just like those that were told of his birth for their time. But I thank God we have a better thing. Oh yes, we do. We're grateful to God that he has offered us not a baby, but he's offered us a bridegroom. Isn't that marvelous? That's the next appearing. Yes. And to those that will believe, those that will be looking and longing and living for that appearing, they're going to get it. They're going to receive all that glory. And here it is in so many places in the Word of God, but here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? See, I can't tell you anything. Nobody can tell you anything except by the word of the Lord. It's not what somebody thinks. It's not somebody feels. Oh, I've got prophecy for you today. No, it's what the word of the Lord says. And here is what we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. See, there's two words there, and you're going to see them again. Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself, Jesus, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, Paul speaking of himself here, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wonderful. Alive and remain. See, remain already gets it. Those are the ones that are living at the time of the trumpet. I believe that we're in that time. I fully believe that. I thank God. I pant after that. I'm assured, praise God, of nothing more in my life than Jesus is coming in my lifetime. I believe it. The Word of God shows me, tells me, gives me these signs, all of these wonders, all of that. But most importantly, I see it in God's precious people. I thank the Lord that there is a readying. This till we all come is just about here. I thank God that we know these things are coming to pass. And I'm grateful to God here, as it says, there'll be those that remain. But notice there were two requirements. It wasn't just remaining. It was alive. And I love that word alive, because there's something about those that are alive. The word also known as quickened. It means abiding in full vigor and even panting. I only know one gospel that can do that to you. You know it. And that's the truth. Because any other gospel will not put that in you. See, it has to be Paul's gospel for that vigor, that full vigor, if you will, quickened, a panting. Once again, love. Amen. It's when you know the love of Christ like that, you pant for it. You long for it. You expect not Jesus a baby. You don't just expect the king. No, I expect my bridegroom. Because that's what that love and knowing that love that he has for me has put in my heart, the reality of truth, of Paul's gospel, that that's what I'm honing in to see. That is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. Every believer is going to be with him. Every believer is going to be with him. But it's how you're going to be with him. How are you going to see him? How are you going to enjoy him? Will it be the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Amen. And we see, we have this trumpet blast. And it tells us that those that are remaining, Christians remaining, but those that are alive, there's a quickened heart there. There are those that are alive and remaining in full vigor, a panting. We saw that in a testimony of David. My heart pants after him. Amen. That was David. Bothered a lot of people. Bothered his own wife. Well, you don't understand joy unspeakable and full of glory, honey. You're seeing the promises afar off. I got in there and I laid hold of them. Matter of fact, I laid hold of him. I know whom I believe in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he's committed unto me against that day. He'll perform it. He'll do it. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And as we read and as we rejoiced, I'll tell you what, as that sweet lady said, as it is written, so be it done unto me. As that word is said, so be it done unto me. That's what's called faith. She didn't say, let me do to receive it. Don't let me go out and work to get it. As it's written, be it unto me. Isn't that what we receive is the word of his grace? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The word of his grace is what builds you up. The word of his grace is what builds you up. Gives you that inheritance. A masterpiece. For him. A wife. That he's going to meet in the air. Talk to most Christians. Oh, yeah, he's going to meet me down here. Yeah, well, I'm sure. But I'm planning on an airmail. You know, there's a meeting in the air that's coming. Praise God. And see, we do know this because you're going over to Romans 13. See, and I am thankful. See, we come in here to hear the word. Just like we were introduced today from the word of the Lord. Why would you want to hear anything else? And God, protect my ears to want to hear anything else. Because that'll just be confusion. It'll put me to sleep. And I won't be alive and awake and in full vigor to see my bridegroom. It has to be this message or you won't receive it. You won't be ready for it. How could you be ready for something you don't know? We're fully prepared. Amen. The Ephesians, they're fully purposed. Praise God. The Philadelphia, oh, those are war horses and they go after it. They know it's a fight, and they're in it, and they're in it for one thing, and that's to win. Amen. So here we have over here in Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time. See, we know the time, and we know now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So isn't this a beautiful thing that Paul is saying? He's telling them, he says, to wait, you're already saved. He said, our salvation is near. So he's speaking to people that are saved. But he's telling them it's high time to awake. Because now is the time. It's a be ready moment, isn't it? See, after it happened, there's no more time to be ready. Matter of fact, the word of God tells it, that time shall be no more. It's over. It's gone. It's passed you by. But I thank the Lord. He's a lover. Hey, you know how I love you? And I kid you all the time because he does that. That's why you don't sleep. That's why I look like a wreck most of the time. Boy, brother, you don't get any sleep. I said, Jesus, wake me up 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I love you. I love you. Sometimes I have to wake Polly up. I love you. Oh, go to sleep. Well, if the Lord's waking me up, I'm going to wake you up too. I pray we're kind of like that. Amen? But see, here it is. That knowing that the time, and it's now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, I want you to think about, here's Paul saying this. And so sweetly, this is what Paul lived for. Amen? We know that. Now, we know Paul, he passed. He went to sleep in the Lord. But we thank God that in that, his whole life was living as the appearing of the Lord was today. That's what gave him that crown. It wasn't looking back at Paul and saying, oh, well, look at how stupid he was. He was believing the Lord would come and he didn't. No, it was how just crazy smart like a fox he was. Because he won the crown. He knew at that moment that the Lord had put in his heart. He said, my course, it's finished. It's finished. But I'll tell you what, I've won. And the reason I've won is because I've lived in this love. I've lived in this, truly, if you will, an obsession of how Jesus loves me. He was obsessed with how Jesus loved him. He is. Are you obsessed with how Jesus loved you? I am. I thank God how he loves me. I know he adores me. I know he is just absolutely out of sight, jumping up on that throne. And I'm not trying to be funny with this. I'm serious right now with the Father. Oh, Father! They love me. They have received this gospel. Oh, Father, this is everything that we spoke of in ages past. This was, oh, son, it's not good for you to live alone. This is the wife that you'll have. You think they're just sitting there all proper? Oh, look at that, son. No. The passion of our Lord. How could we? I mean, this is the word of God. Look what he's written to us. That young roe, as he lights off the horse, as he tells us in the Song of Solomon, oh, I'm looking at you through a lattice. Oh, don't bat that eye at me, honey. I just can't even stand it how much I love you. I know he loves me like that. Because he did that. It's not because of Jesse. It's because of his beauty, his love, his grace, his mercy, his glory. And I take it. And I receive it and I embrace it. It's the most beautiful thing to my life is how Jesus loves me. But we need to be quickened in that. Amen. Because see, we're living in this beautiful time of faith. Just as he told Thomas, as he said, greater is them that haven't seen me that will believe. Just think of this faith that he's given us. And matter of fact, the word of God says it's the most holy faith. It's the most set apart faith. And it is, because most of Christianity doesn't want this. They don't want this fellowship. They think, oh, it's too much. It's too far. You're too obsessed. Well, that's exactly what the daughters of Jerusalem said to the Shulamite. You're too much in love with him. You're too overcome with him. There's other lovers. And then at the end, what did they say? Oh, return, return, oh, Shulamite. Come back to us. Bam, she was gone. This is what we're talking about. This is the word of God, and it's over and over, and this is the real stuff. And we're right there on that threshold to go. And you have this gospel. Young, old, we've got it. He's chosen us. How each and every one of us got in here. It's a miracle. We know it. But God did it because he foresaw your life, that you would receive this gospel. You're here the first time today. You're in it too. You're not going to escape this message. It's there. It's there for you. It's pursuing you. Let it. Succumb to it. Surrender. Submit. That's what he wants. He wants that lover that just submits to him. That's what a worshiper is. We're going to find out a little bit more about that again today. That's what the worshiper is. The worshiper is a lover. A worshiper draws nigh in fervent love. Full vigor. See, it's all the same. He just tells you over and over and over and over that you can't deny this unless you willingly deny it. You can try to blame anybody you want. You can look at your life and say, oh, well, this is the reason why. There's no excuse. There is no excuse. He brought you to this. You're hearing something so few ever hear. So we know it. And here's the company, praise God, that will be looking for it and longing for it. Just like those that saw his birth. You go on over to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, we get to one of the seven churches. It's known as the Church of Philadelphia. And here it is. That Church of Philadelphia. These are war horses. These are ones, as the Philippians, as it says there, these are the ones that are in full brotherly love. They love. Praise God. It just is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in their lives. But notice what it says to this particular church that it doesn't say to any of the others. In verses 10 and 11, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. See, it didn't talk about acts or works or this or that. It's the word. It's the word. Remember as he said to the Philippians as we got in there? That's why Paul was so thrilled with the Philippians. He said, from the first day until now, you've kept this message. There wasn't anything else. That's why you got a big old smile on your face. You know it. I love it. You know it. There isn't anything else. There is nothing else. This is it. And there's nothing that you could even imagine in your heart that could be better, because there's not. Where Paul's gospel will take you by faith. There is nothing better. Nothing that can compare. It says, but because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That translates that he will keep this company of saints from the tribulation. They're going to hear that trump that we heard of back there in 1 Thessalonians 4. And they're going to be raptured. They're gone. They're gone before the tribulation occurs. I'm going to keep you from that hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Wasn't that beautiful? Because that brings us right back to Brother Paul, doesn't it? And as he said he finished his course. I've kept the faith. There is therefore now laid up for me that crown. That crown. That's the crown message. See, Jesus is coming again for those that have received. And we'll meet them in the air. That crown message. The message of those fully grown, if you will, kings. The ones that will rule and reign jointly together with him. Also known as his bride. Amen. Can't deny this stuff. It's just what it is. There's ranks in the resurrection. The word of God says that every man will be in his own order. There is a glory of the moon. There is one star differeth from another star in glory. But there's a glory of the sun. And let me tell you something. That bride, she has the very glory of God, it says. And she descends from heaven having his glory. And then it goes on to say, and her light. And I'm seeing her light in here. Praise God. Because that's what Paul's gospel does. It sets us into that light. We become like those. Again, come on Wednesday nights. We've been studying about the cherubim. Way back there in the Old Testament times. Once again, another type, shadow, metaphor of the bride. And they're fiery ones. Amen. And see, they speak, and I love it too. They speak with the voice of the trumpet. The prophets, John, see, when they speak, they think it's the Lord speaking. Well, it really is the Lord speaking. Because isn't it the Lord that speaks through us if we're really speaking the things of God? But see, that's the trumpeter's voice. And that by the grace of God, I want to have that voice. That voice that we're ready for that trumpet. That we're ready to hear that blast. And it's going to be a beautiful blast, isn't it? Rise up, my love, my fair one. And come away, praise God. But you see something here with this little company here. They're spared from the tribulation. And matter of fact, the tribulation doesn't even start until that rapture it happens. But now, brothers and sisters, here's the alternative. Go on over to Revelation chapter 7. Here's your alternative. Here is the ones that are asleep. Here are the ones just like those that weren't looking for the appearing of the Lord way back 2,000 years ago when Christ was born. They missed it. They missed that glory. Here's the alternative of the ones that will miss this glory. Over here in Revelation chapter 7, begin reading with me in verse 9. After this, so after, this word after, if you follow along, we've got to do this concise. This is after the tribulations began. This is year, maybe 2 years within to the tribulation. Here we have this next company coming into heaven that follows that bridal company into heaven. But it's a while after. And here's what it says. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now wait a second, we just were talking about Brother Paul, and he's talking about a crown in my hand. And then we were just talking about those sweet ones of the Church of Philadelphia. And what were they told? Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I don't think it said about them, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy palm. He's speaking to a certain company. We're talking about ones that will rule and reign jointly together with him. And we're talking about ones that will be waving a palm. You don't hear the message to wave a palm. Because the message that we have in this word, praise God, is not for you to wave a palm. But that's what's been turned and twisted, and the majority of Christianity is to go out and serve and mission and this and this and this. God wants you to worship. Did he not make it clear with Mary? As Martha was there cumbering herself with all of these things, serving. And she got critical of Mary. Jesus said, you leave her alone. She's chosen the better part. Praise God, she's right here. She's worshiping. She wants me. She doesn't want to serve. She wants me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. Go on down to verse 14 about these different ones here. And it said, and I said unto him, sir, thou know who these are. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. So wait a second. We had the Philadelphia church. They were kept from the tribulation. And now we have these. They're taken out of the tribulation. And notice, it was the majority, wasn't it? It was the great multitude, wasn't it? It was the ones that had palms in their hand, wasn't it? It was the ones that are standing before the throne, wasn't it? Don't have enough time today, but you'll know that Philadelphia company in chapter 4, you see them as the four living ones. They're in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, because they're the ones with the crown. But there's an alternative if you want this. And here's the alternative. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in the temple. See, with what you're going to get here is what you're going to get over there. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. But what you receive here is what you're going to receive over there. So if you want serving here, you'll be able to serve right on over there. But I want ruling and reigning. And by the grace of God, we do it now. And hallelujah, we'll be doing it with him over there. So we thank him for these things. It says, and it goes on to say, they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any more. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All right, now we got to move. But there's a lot here, and it's so good. Now, they come out of the tribulation. Couldn't be any more clear. They weren't kept from the tribulation like that Philadelphia company. We know that. They come out. Majority of Christians. And that was just like the majority who never saw the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the same all the time. I was just even rejoicing before I come out here. You just think, how many Pauls and Silas and Apollos were there? There were three. A couple others and different ones that were preaching the word of God. I know there were so many apostles and all, but there weren't that many. But people knew the word of God. They were giving out the word of God. But to that extent of Paul's gospel, there was just a handful. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says that we are in a time, that we're moving into that time, that there is a famine for the word of God. This innumerable multitude, what did they do? They sang salvation. We see that they're servants. Yeah, we're thankful. They're heirs of God. But they have no clue about salvation with eternal glory. They have no idea about jointly ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. They ran a race, But they didn't run with the full purpose of Paul's gospel. No way. Matter of fact, the word of God tells those that run like that, they run beating the air, flailing, if you will. Yes. And the result of it, they have a tear in their eye to wipe away. They have a tear. It says that he has to wipe the tears away. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, he ain't going to be wiping no tear from this eye. No way. Oh, I've cried a lot of tears, but it ain't going to happen then. Oh, no, I'm running into my bridegroom. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no tears there. This is time of rejoicing. This is the fellowship divine. This is, I don't even know what kind of voice I'll scream in. And I'll tell you what, he'll be screaming too. I know it. Because he's put that passion in my heart. Oh, hallelujah. This is young road time loving. And I love it. That's what it is. Know this stuff. Go back and read your word. Now, here it is. Here it is. They have a tear. They don't have that joy. Not a throne that's shared and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. They got a palm in their hand. And you know when that crying begins, brothers and sisters, it begins the moment the bride is taken. Oh, yes, it does. And I couldn't imagine the horror to think that my brethren had been raptured and I missed it. And I'm confident I would start a crying and it would not end until I saw Jesus. And that is the truth. You know that. The sorrow to think that you wasted this message. That you wasted your life in this. That I wasted the hearing of the wondrous truth of Paul's gospel to rule and reign, to be glorified with Jesus. And most sadly to think Jesus was ravished and passionate for me to have this. That this was my Father's plan and I squandered the plan of my Father. That he fully gave me Jesus and had him become made sin for me to have it. What are you thinking about today? I don't care where in life you are, young, old, going to college, getting a new job, getting married, going to have a baby and all that. That's all wonderful. But do not let it get in front of this. Amen. Don't. No, don't. This is it. This is everything. This is, by the grace of God, this is the focus of heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the only sorrow. Turn over to Matthew 24. Verses 3 through 8. I tell you, when I go away, you get sorry, I guess. I don't know. You got to be here a little while. 24, 3 through 8. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, this is Jesus, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, Jesus, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Isn't that something? Be not troubled. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. That's your alternative. And I pray it would send a chill in somebody's spine here today. God help us to wake up. But if we don't wake up, this is your prophecy. This is what you'll receive. This is what you have to look forward to. And I think about, no wonder the Lord gave us in such great grace this wonderful book of Revelation. Because those that will miss this first trump rapture are going to suffer like never before. But the Lord in his faithfulness still telling them, I'm coming for you, innumerable multitude. See, people get fascinated with prophecy. Quit being fascinated with prophecy. Let prophecy motivate you. Know what prophecy is. Know what it means. Know where it fits. But don't let it become your worship. I understand this is going on, but I'm so thankful to God. In a sense, that's not my prophecy. See, the majority of the prophecy is written for the tribulation time. Yeah. For the millennial time and all of that. And I mean, that'll be a great time with him. But in a sense of how people are looking at that and looking at all of those different things, that's not my prophecy. Oh, no, no, no. My prophecy is meeting him in the air. And praise be to God, I understand about all these events of the tribulation and the millennial time. And as you know the word of God, you'll be participating with him in ruling and reigning and bringing forth those things. I mean, come on. Read about those things, about those angels, those messengers. Yeah, the bride that'll be pouring forth those vials of wrath and all of those different things. Either experience it here or you experience it over there. And I want to experience it over there. This is so marvelous that this is ours. And brothers and sisters, all the while the innumerable multitude are waiting and suffering, the bridal company is already there. She's already there. She's in the sky and met him, enjoying a glorified body like unto his own, enjoying the fellowship with the worthies of faith in Hebrews 11. Yeah, wow. Oh, but I want to be here. I've had Christians tell me that. Oh, it'd be kind of fun to go through here. You know, I get to camp out. And, well, you're... I don't think I'm supposed to say that word from the pulpit. But joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is what we have. This is what joy unspeakable and full of glory is. We're going to have hurts. We're going to have sorrows. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have tragedies. We're going to have all these different things. Because it's all part of his plan for us. But it's all for this. It's all to prove this in us. That this is our first love. This is what we live for. And I'll tell you what. The few that believe. The few that believe. Are always fully rewarded. It's never been any other way in the word of God. The few that believe. And there were only a handful that always believed. You never saw masses of people that really went with God. Because it was too crazy. It was too far out. It was too kooky. It was too unique. But in a way, that's what the word of God is. I don't know what else to tell you, but that's what the word of God has always been, because it's not man's thoughts. Anything that's not a man's thought is supposed to be crazy. But those that went with him, only the few, they always were fully rewarded. And our reward is coming, isn't it? Amen. And the word of God tells us it's a better thing. The word of God tells us it's an exceeding promise. The opportunity by the grace of God to be glorified together with him. And I think about to be glorified for him. To be that light for him. Oh my. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I'm not going to miss it. By the grace of God, let's be awake. By the grace of God, let's be alive to the love wherewith we are loved. To know him in his love, hallelujah. To know him and how in love he is with us. And to know where that love will take you and where that love wants to seat you, clothe you, enable you, and make you. And I love that, make you. Like him for him. Isn't that beautiful? Like him for him. And all I can tell you, by the grace of God, I'm not going to miss that. No way. By the grace of God, I ain't going to miss that. And I'm going to tell you what. And don't you either. Don't you either. This is ours. This is what he has given. Praise God. Jesus, increase our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and give you all the praise. And Lord, we're just again, in awe, but yet, that awe is in such expectation and thanksgiving. It puts a smile on our face because we know, and you've told us that we know in the word of God. And in that word, we know that you are faithful to perform. And we know that we are your workmanship. And we know that you are the author and finisher. So I'm thankful to know that I am that wonderful, in a sense, I'm that clay upon your wheel. And Lord, let me be oiled and let those hands be all upon me. And mold me and make me after all your perfect and complete will. Lord, let that message go forth and just saturate us, Jesus, that you are getting ready your bride. You are getting ready your wife. And she will be like you. And thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the faith to believe it. We give you all the praise and thanksgiving today in Jesus' name. Amen.